MedStar Washington Hospital Center presents Medical Intel, the inside story of advances in healthcare that can make a difference for you and your family. Here's Melanie Cole.
Thinking about weight loss surgery? At the top of your to-do list is choosing the very best hospital and an experienced medical team. My guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Zubowitz. She's a bariatric surgeon with MedStar Washington Hospital Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Zubowitz. Who should consider bariatric surgery?
Hi, thank you for having me. So to start, who should consider bariatric surgery? There are one specific insurance criteria of who qualifies for bariatric surgery, unless, of course, you're interested in paying out of pocket. But even then, the criteria still sort of stand from a medical standpoint. But in general, I say people who have been battling with their weight their entire lives, and have either began already developed medical problems or are beginning to be warned by their primary care doctor that they're starting to have either prediabetes or their blood pressure starting to creep up, et cetera. In terms of specifics, it's anyone with a BMI of 35 or greater with at least two medical problems such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep apnea, arthritis, or anyone with solely with a BMI of 40 or greater will qualify based on insurance requirements.
So then what are the different types of bariatric surgery? If somebody is considering this, they are one of those candidates, what things should they consider when they're looking at bariatric surgery?
So the three different types of bariatric procedures. There is the oldest, which is the gastric bypass. The newest, which is the sleeve gastrectomy, and then there's the lap band, which gained a lot of popularity about 5 or 10 years ago and now has been taken over by the sleeve in terms of being the most popular weight loss procedure. There are very few circumstances where there's really one right or wrong answer. What I tell patients is to really study all three. Their side effects or complications are slightly different for all three procedures, and someone needs to think about what their lifestyle is like and which procedure would be best for them. For example, with the lap band, it requires very frequent follow-ups and adjustments. So if you're someone that either is terrified of needles because we use a needle to access the port, or if you work a lot and you can't take come see us every single month, it may not be the right choice for you. In terms of the other procedures, the sleeve has gained the most popularity because it's been found overall the weight loss, the resolution of the comorbidities like the high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, the resolution is about the same as with the bypass. And the complication rate, the morbidity from it is slightly lower than with the bypass. Both the sleeve and the bypass have been found to be more effective than the lap band. However, the lap band is appealing because there's no actual change to the patient's anatomy.
Are any of these reversible?
So, in theory, people say the band is reversible. I say no. None of them are actually reversible. When you undergo a major surgery, you undergo a major surgery. With the lap band, the anatomy has not changed. However, you do have something foreign in your body, and that's where the complications can arise from the lap band, from having this band in your stomach for 10, 15 plus years. But it is something that can be taken out, whereas opposed to the sleeve gastrectomy or the bypass, we're actually changing the anatomy, and that is truly not reversible.
So let's talk about bariatric surgery or bariatric procedure as a tool for weight loss, Dr. Zubowitz. What do you like people to know about what they should do before the surgery to get ready for this procedure?
Okay. So I think weight loss surgery can be an incredibly effective tool. But like you said, it's just a tool. And it's so important to really approach this is a tool that I'm going to use along with significant lifestyle changes to lead a healthier life. So many people I see in office, they have struggled with dieting and with exercise. their whole lives. And unfortunately, I think there's just a genetic component to obesity that no matter how much dieting and exercise you do, based on just patterns that start as in childhood and, you know, based on the bad luck of genes you get, that may just not be enough by itself. With these weight loss surgeries, it basically jumpstarts your body into revving up that metabolism and helping you lose the weight. But you can't do it by itself. The weight loss surgery is most effective in conjunction with lifelong changes in eating habits and lifelong exercise. Not to mention, you know, those changes are good for every other organ system in your body as well. So in terms of before getting surgery, one, obviously, if you can lose weight with diet and exercise alone, that's the best. There's no point in ever putting your body under an unnecessary surgery. Of course, when I see people, they've obviously tried that and have not had success with that. So the next step is, and this is why it's so important to go to a center of excellence, which is what Hospital Center is, where we have a full team of people who are dedicated and specialized to bariatric medicine. Because in the preoperative process, we have you meet with a nutritionist, learn healthy eating styles, portion control, what to expect with surgery, what to expect after the surgery, and really get you prepared to make those lifestyle changes so you're successful after getting the surgery.
So there's a lot of education that goes in prior. Then what about after the procedure, Dr. Zubowitz? What do you tell people about if they've had gastric bypass, the pouch, how much they can eat, and those lifestyle modifications that they must try to keep up for this to be successful?
So specific to the bypass, and it's really the same with all three in terms of the post-operative diet. So immediately after the surgery, they start with just clear liquids, and the goal is to stay hydrated. Slowly, the person advances to full liquids, which is something like yogurt or a thicker liquid formulation. And then after about 2 weeks is when they go to solid foods. In terms of what you can eat, one, it's a trial and error. Everyone is completely different. We have anyone after the surgery should be on multivitamins for life, and then we encourage the low carbohydrate protein shakes, because what we want to see is that you're staying away from the empty calories of sugar and you're taking in healthy calories such as protein, which helps keep you full, helps build your muscle without just taking in calories that aren't going to be nutritious in any way.
And then once they can start eating solid food, the amounts are so difficult for people to figure and imagine. What do you tell them about solid foods and getting back into that healthy lifestyle? And how soon can they start exercising?
So we actually start before surgery with the nutrition classes and educating patients on portion sizes. Because one, that's important just for weight loss in general. And that becomes even more important after you get a restrictive bariatric procedure, because you physically just cannot eat anymore. And, you know, unfortunately, it's so different from person to person. This is why we follow up with patients 2 weeks and then a month and then at 3 months and then 6 months and then for the rest of their lives. Because also the amount that you can eat can also change with time too. Obviously, what you can eat immediately after surgery is going to be pretty restricted, because not only did you have the surgery, there's going to be swelling, et cetera. And then as time goes on, the stomach can slowly expand and you can eat more. What I counsel people is to the portion sizes we teach preoperatively about what's healthy. Even if you can start to eat more, the goal is to stick to appropriate portion sizes postoperatively. And if people don't slowly start eating more and more, they can really maintain that weight loss that they see after the surgery. And then obviously avoiding snacking is good for anyone, because sometimes you can realize you don't realize that you're taking in a lot more calories than you ever thought you were. And in terms of exercise, I like people exercising really by 2 weeks after surgery. At first, it's just light aerobic activity. And then after about the 2 month point, I really encourage adding in some resistance and strength training. And, you know, some people can actually get a little discouraged when they start adding the strength training because the number isn't dropping off the scale as rapidly. But that's because they're building muscle mass. So I explained to them, as you build muscle mass, that actually physically weighs more than fat. But that doesn't mean that you aren't losing weight and becoming healthier. So I tell them to look at their pant size. If their pant size is continuing to drop, but the scale isn't dropping as precipitously, but they're starting to build in a strength program, that's still great. And most of them say, yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm more active. And so there's a lot more to look at than just purely the scale, especially once you start adding in the strength training. But I really encourage, I can't stress enough how important exercise is for the weight loss surgery to be successful. And you know, unfortunately, you know, there is about a 20% failure rate with these surgeries, and it's almost always because people go back to their lifestyle that they had before the surgery. And what I tell people is, again, that the surgery is just a tool, and you have to use that in conjunction with healthy eating and exercise, or it's not going to be successful.
What great advice. Thank you so much for being with us today, Doctor. You're listening to Medical Intel with MedStar Washington Hospital Center. And for more information, you can go to MedStarWashington.org. That's MedStarWashington.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.